Welcome back to your Half Hour to Health with Dr. Mark DiBenedetto. For those of you who are new to our show, let me give you a little bit of background about myself. I graduated from Edison High School in New Jersey in 1981. I was a district wrestling champion there and still hold the school record for the fastest pin, which was 8 seconds. I went on to Rutgers University, and I graduated there in 1985. I wrestled 4 years there, and I also was a teaching assistant. I moved on to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa, where I graduated in 1991. Now, I graduated with cum laude honors and on the president's list, but I always say I came back from Palmer with something more important. That's where I met my wife, Dr. Tammy DiBenedetto, and together we own Mifflintown Family Chiropractic, and we've been there for 19 years, and in that time, we have successfully treated over 5,000 patients. I'd like to just take a minute and thank everyone who sends me cards and emails and even sends in questions, because it's your comments that really help me put together the topic for the next show. If you have missed any of our previous shows, just know you can go to our website. It's www.mifflintownchiro.com. And if you click on Wellness Library, you're going to see a drop-down menu. And the first thing on the drop-down menu is going to be Dr. Mark's radio shows. And once you click on that, you will have all the archive shows, so you can listen to them right there. You can download them to a CD or even an MP3 player, and you can listen to them in your car or even while you're working out. While you're at our website, take time to sign up for our free email newsletter. Again, you'd go to www.mifflintownchiro.com, and if you click on newsletter, just follow the procedures to sign up, and you'll get free health information every single month. I want you to know I have a special offer at the end of our show as a gift just for listening. But today, I wanted to talk about one of the greatest discoveries of all time. It happened on September 18, 1895, in Davenport, Iowa. That means it will be celebrating its 115th birthday in just a few short weeks. What was this world-changing event? Well, it was the discovery of chiropractic. Most people believe today chiropractors mainly treat neck and back pain. That could not be further from the truth. Let me share the story on how chiropractic was founded. It all starts with a man named D.D. Palmer, who at the time was practicing magnetic healing. Back at that time, D.D. was very successful with this type of therapy, getting sick people well. Even today, magnets have shown to be quite impressive in their healing power. People wear them on their wrist, backs, they put them in their shoes, pillows, and even their mattresses. MRIs, or magnetic resonance imaging, have become standard practice in imaging today. But one night, a janitor named Harvey Lillard stopped to talk with D.D. Palmer, who was working late in his office. Lillard told Palmer that 17 years ago, he had bent over, he heard a pop from his back, and went almost completely deaf. Palmer asked Lillard for permission to test out a theory he was researching, and Lillard agreed. D.D. examined Lillard and found a vertebrae, as he described it in the literature, racked from its normal position. He applied a force to that vertebrae, moving it back. Lillard got up and walked over to the window looking over Ryan Street, what he heard through that open window changed history. He could now hear the clatter of horses' hooves, something that he could not hear for 17 years. Thus, the science of chiropractic was born. Now, Dee Dee was left to figure out exactly what happened. With his knowledge of the body, he felt the bone out of place was disturbing the nervous system, which then affected the hearing. Initially, he thought he may have found the cure for deafness. So he solicited many deaf patients to test his theory. As Dee Dee Palmer started to examine these new patients for the same vertebra out of position that was on Harvey Lillard, he was astounded at what he found. Every patient did have vertebrae out of place, but they were all in different locations. So as Dee Dee started to what we now call today as adjust the vertebrae back into position, not another single patient had a change in their hearing. However, every patient did have a change in their health. Someone's headache went away. Someone's blood pressure was reduced. Someone's asthma was improved. That is how chiropractic was founded. It had nothing to do with neck or back pain. Dee Dee Palmer was a wellness practitioner before the word was even invented. He believed the body was a self-healing mechanism and could heal itself. He understood that the brain controls everything in our body. However, if a vertebrae slips out of position and blocks or interferes with the transmission of this message getting from the brain to the body, it would lead to dysfunction, which could eventually lead to dis-ease. That condition of the vertebrae shifting and causing nerve stress is what Dee Dee named a vertebral subluxation. You have to remember, in 1895, this was not a theory that MDs agreed with. In fact, in the early days, it created quite a rift between medical doctors and chiropractors. On one hand, you had a profession who treated disease with medication and surgery. And on the other profession, who believed if you remove the interference, the body can heal itself. Dee Dee believed if health were found in a bottle, wouldn't we all be healthy by now? Although Dee Dee Palmer is the founder of chiropractic, it was his son B.J. Palmer who is considered the true educator of chiropractic. It was B.J. who started Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa, which is where I went. You know, today, that school is held in such high esteem, most consider it the Harvard of chiropractic. It's definitely the fountainhead. BJ was a genius and a true visionary for his time. In fact, when BJ had heard about the invention of x-rays, he purchased one of the first x-ray machines ever made. Today, there is over 18 colleges, chiropractic colleges, in the United States. And chiropractic is the fastest growing drugless health profession in the world. Over 100 years later, after the first chiropractic adjustment restored a deaf janitor's hearing, the theory Palmer worked on has been proven. Several million Americans get their spines adjusted every single day. They do it to get healthy and to stay healthy. People often ask me, what brought me to chiropractic? Well, let me share my story. 33 years ago, something happened which changed my life forever. I was in a wrestling match on my junior high wrestling team. I was in a very tough match in the finals of a tournament when I was slammed hard on my right hip. You know, I finished the match, but soon after, I could not put even the slightest pressure on my leg without excruciating pain. I still remember how scared I was and wondering if I would be able to wrestle or even walk again. My dad's friend convinced him to give chiropractic a try. My dad literally carried me into a local chiropractor's office. The chiropractor did an exam. He took some films and then adjusted my spine. The adjustment didn't hurt. It actually felt good. I got relief and I could walk out of the office on my own. I went on to wrestle all through high school and college. But chiropractic worked so well for me that later I went to chiropractic college myself. And you know, next to getting married to my wife, it was the single most important decision I have ever made. Every day, I get to help patients with a variety of health issues. You know, it's strange how life is, because now wrestlers and football players, cheerleaders, as well as many other athletes and people come to me with their low back and hip problems. They also come with their headaches, migraines, chronic pain, neck pain, shoulder and arm pain, whiplash from car accidents, carpal tunnel syndrome, backaches, ear infections, asthma, allergies, numbness in the limbs, and athletic injuries, just to name a few. Every day, I can't wait to get to work and see what new challenges God has put before me. You see, I believe the power that made the body heals the body. It happens no other way. As a chiropractor, we don't put anything in the body, and we certainly wouldn't take anything out. Your nervous system controls every muscle, organ, tissue, and cell of your body. And it only takes 1 gram of pressure. That's less than the weight of a dime to interfere with this vital nerve flow. Chiropractors are trained to detect and correct vertebral subluxations, which can lead to dysfunction in your body. Many patients think they can tell if they have a pinched nerve because it will always cause pain. That is simply not true. Only 10% of your nervous system even perceives pain. So how would you know? If you have a pinched nerve which goes to your liver or kidney, do those organs say ow? Of course not. When I was in chiropractic college, one of the things as students we used to say was DC didn't just stand for Doctor of Chiropractic, but rather Doctor of Cause. In other words, we pride ourselves at getting to the cause of your health issues, not just trying to cover it up. There are millions of people who suffer from health problems, and many do not know where they can turn. For 115 years, chiropractors have been helping people and making a difference to them one by one. 48 million Americans no longer have health insurance, and those who do have found that their benefits are reduced. That's where chiropractic comes in. Many people find they actually save money on their health care expenses by seeing a chiropractor. There are people who find that they and their families don't get sick as often. Studies show that chiropractic may double your immune capacity naturally and without drugs. The immune system fights colds, the flu, and other sicknesses. So you may not be running off to the doctor as much. Studies also show that people actually pay less for their long-term overall health care expenses if they are seeing a chiropractor. One of my favorite writings was done by BJ Palmer, and it hangs right by my desk so I can read it every day. Let me share it with you. This one's called The Truth. And it says, "We chiropractors work with the subtle substance of the soul. We release the imprisoned impulse, the tiny rivulet of force that emanates from the mind and flows over the nerves to cells and stirs them into life. We deal with the majestic power that transforms common food into living, loving, thinking clay that robes the earth with beauty and use and scents the flowers with the glory of the air. In the dim, dark, distant long ago, when the sun first bowed to the morning star, this power spoke and there was life. It quickened the slime of the sea and the dust of the earth and drove the cell to union with its fellows in countless living forms. Through eons of time, it finned the fish and winged the bird and fanged the beast. Endlessly it worked, evolving its forms until it produced the crowning glory of them all. With tireless energy, it blows the bubble of each individual life and then silently, relentlessly dissolves the form and absorbs the spirit into itself again. And yet, you ask, can chiropractic cure appendicitis or the flu? Have you more faith in a spoonful of medicine than in the power that animates the living world?" And again, that was written by BJ Palmer. Whenever I read that, it reminds me of a story that happened to me several years ago. And as so often will happen to me at work, one of my patients will stop and ask, "Hey doc, can you help?" And I always say, you can fill in the blank. It could be XYZ, literally anything from a headache to sciatica to chronic tiredness. And in this case, she asked, "Can you help sciatica?" And I said, "Well, you know, we don't specifically treat sciatica. What we're treating are subluxations, which cause nerve stress, which absolutely can cause sciatica." So she says, "Good, because I have an aunt who I'd like to see you." I said, "No problem." So I continued working that day. And all of a sudden, I got a knock on one of my door jams, and it was in the afternoon shift. And now, my girls know not to interrupt me unless it's an emergency. And an emergency back in the day was if my mom called as well. She's passed away, but I remember she would call up and ask if I could speak on the phone, and the girls would say, "No, Dr. Marks with patients." And my mother would say, "I don't care. You go get him. I paid for his college." And the girls would laugh, and of course, they would come and get me. And I'd get on the phone. Now, my waiting room's packed. There's people everywhere. And I'd say, "Mom, what happened?" And she says, "Well, you're coming this weekend. Would you like the veal or the eggplant?" And I would just, I'd laugh, and I'd pick one, and, you know, we'd move on. But yeah, I wish she was still with us. She was a lovely woman, and my girls always knew that was an emergency if she called. But in this instance, she said it was a new patient on the phone. And I said, "Well, that's no big deal." I said, "Why don't you just schedule him?" She said, "Well, you don't understand. She's going to be coming by ambulance, and I didn't know when you'd want to see her." I said, "Coming by ambulance?" I said, "Who is it?" And she says, "Do you remember Mrs. So-and-so? It's her aunt." I said, "Oh, she mentioned her, but she didn't say anything about an ambulance." I had never had that experience in my office. So I said, well, let's let her come over lunch, because I didn't know how long it would take or what we'd be running into. And I said, it's not an emergency, so tell them to keep the sirens off. So sure enough, I finished my shift the next day, and an ambulance pulled up right around noon, and they wheeled her in. And I'm going to call her Sue. To this day, I'll never forget meeting Sue. She was on the gurney, and her hands were kind of crossed on her chest. And laying on top of them was 15 pages typewritten with all the doctors she had seen and the medications she was on. Her eyes kind of fluttered. She had sort of a gray complexion. I really didn't know if she was cognizant. But we took her to the back, and with the help of my wife, the first thing I did was explain chiropractic. I do that with all my new patients so they at least know what we're examining for. Many people come to the chiropractor, they really have no idea what we do. And then we had to get x-rays of her and examine her. And as you can imagine, it took the entire lunch hour. So when I was done, I was about 20 minutes or so late getting into my next shift. I'll never forget walking out to the waiting room. They're wheeling Sue out, and my waiting room is packed. Every chair, there was about 10 chairs back then, and we had people literally waiting outside the office, kind of in a line. And I'll never forget the first patient's name was Jay, and I said, Jay, come on back. And Jay had a terrible scoliosis, so he kind of comes slumping over toward me, and he said, Doc, I got one question. And, you know, I was shrieking to what he might ask. And he said, was she coming or going? And I said, don't you worry, Jay. It was her first day, and we're going to take good care of her. And you could almost see a breath of air come out of the entire waiting room in relief. Well, I got through that shift, and at the end of the night, we developed the x-rays, and we looked at them. And I can tell you, to this day, they were the worst x-rays I have ever seen. There was literally nothing in there that resembled normal bone. And I'm looking at him first, and I said to Tammy, who was sitting a desk away, I said, man, I don't think there's anything we can do for her. I don't even know if it's worth her to come out to our office. And, you know, if you've ever met my wife, Tammy, she's a beautiful person, and she looked at me with those big brown eyes, and she says, you know, Mark, if we don't try to help her, they're probably just going to leave her in the nursing home and drug her till she's no longer with us. You know, when you hear that, it kind of changes your perspective. So I started, instead of looking what I couldn't do, I looked at the films and thought what I might be able to do or what I could do. And I thought, well, you know, I can use a technique of distraction. I could maybe realign her pelvis. And anyway, so I went through this whole process of figuring out what I could do for this patient. And she came back the next day over lunch. And I got to be honest with you. I literally tried to talk her out of care. I said to her, Sue, there's probably less than a 10% chance that you will feel any relief whatsoever. But if you want me to, I will accept your case, but this is what's going to need to happen. And literally, I needed to see her daily for a couple of weeks. I needed to see her 3 times a week from anywhere from 3 to 6 months just to try to get this spine stabilized and decompress the nerve. Well, assuming she was going to say no, I was astounded when she said yes. And really, when you think about it, she had nothing else to do. She had already been everywhere. Well, let me tell you, for the first 2.5 months, it was pretty draining. Every lunch hour, you know, I'm skinny to begin with, but I was getting really skinny because I didn't get much time to eat. I gave up every lunch working with Sue. And I'll never forget that 2.5 month mark because all of a sudden the ambulance didn't pull up, but a station wagon pulled up to my office and they were assisting her out and she was using a walker. Now, I don't want you to think, you know, it was a miracle at that time but it was progress. I mean, I could adjust maybe 10 people from the time it took her to get out of the car to in my office, but this was progress. Another month or so went by, and she was able to use a 4-prong cane. And after 6 months, she was literally sitting in my waiting room, makeup on, hair done, and when you called her name, she could get up and come back just like any other patient. You know, I call that a miracle. And I don't feel that I did it. You see, I see miracles every day. I move the bone, God does the healing. I wish for all of you to have the best in life, filled with joy, happiness, love, and health. A friend of mine recently sent me this story, which I would love to share with you. And it goes like this. Recently, I overheard a father and daughter in their last moments together at the airport. They had announced the departure. Standing near the security gate, they hugged, and the father said, "I love you, and I wish you enough." The daughter replied, "Dad, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all I have ever needed. I wish you enough too, Dad." They kissed, and the daughter left. The father walked over to the window where I was seated. Standing there, I could see he needed and wanted to cry. I tried not to intrude on his privacy, but he welcomed me in by asking, "Did you ever say goodbye to someone knowing it would be forever?" "Yes, I have," I replied. "Forgive me for asking, but why is this a forever goodbye?" "Well, I am old, and she lives so far away. I have challenges ahead, and the reality is the next trip back will be for my funeral," he said. "Well, when you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, 'I wish you enough.' May I ask what that means?" He began to smile. He said, "That's a wish that has been handed down from generation to generation. My parents used to say it to everyone." He paused a moment and looked up as if trying to remember it in detail, and he smiled even more. "When we said, 'I wish you enough,' we were wanting the other person to have a life filled with just enough good things to sustain them." Then turning toward me, he shared the following as if he were reciting it from memory. "I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright, no matter how gray the day may appear. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun even more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive and everlasting. I wish you enough pain so that even the smallest of joys in life may appear bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish you enough hellos to get you through the final goodbye." He then began to cry and walk away. You know, they say it takes a minute to find a special person, an hour to appreciate them, a day to love them, but then an entire life to forget them. Take time today to live. To all my friends and listeners, I wish you enough. And so as I promised, I have a special offer for all of you who took the time to listen to me today. And in honor of chiropractic's 115th birthday, we have opened up 15 new patient appointments in our office. So if you are one of the first 15 who call today, you will receive a chiropractic examination, any necessary x-rays, a thermography scan, range of motion study, and posture evaluation for just $15. That would normally cost $160. So call 436-9017. That's 436-9017. This might just be the most important checkup you have ever had. So until next time, live with passion, and we will see you in 2 weeks for your next Half Hour to Health.